Hey guys.
Hey.
What's up?
It's David's birthday.
Yeah.
It is David's birthday.
And David, I just wanted to let you know, me and Nick pulled our money together and we got you this monthly subscription box service called Loot Crate.
You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, we did. It got epic geek and gamer items in it. Pop culture gear, sometimes, you know, some sort of like little Futurama toy or a t-shirt.
Hey David, this month's theme is My Little Pony.
Probably.
Oh, well, I am a brony at heart, so.
Yeah, well, so you'll be in luck, because the whole box is full of glitter. Well, David, you know how we were able to afford the whopping $15 or so that it cost to get 1 month?
How'd you do that?
We went to lootcrate.com/unpitchable, and we used the coupon code unpitchable. We saved $3 on it. Because you know what? There's nothing you like more for your birthday than frugality.
That's right. It's true.
Good deal. Go get you a box. Happy birthday to you.
We can't. Wait, can we sing that? Is that legal?
Happy birthday.
I don't know. This is a good question.
We're going to be owned by the person that wrote the song now.
Fair use is like 30 seconds, so as long as you cut it out before then, we're good.
Dear David. Happy birthday.
Nope, staying in. Keep going. Finish it.
Are you guys ready? You guys ready to go?
I just thought of David just making this a ringtone every time.
That'd be the worst.
It's like, oh, hey, Nick, do you want to go get a job somewhere? We just sent them you singing happy birthday out of key. You're not going to get hired. Hey, guys, welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast about fake sequels and movie mashups based on real movies. I'm Nick Kagi.
I'm David Johnson.
I'm Tim Catania.
And, awesome.
It's David's birthday.
No.
It is David's birthday.
It is.
I've prepared a song.
Oh, man.
If I prepared, I mean, I just picked this up in hopes that I'd have something.
All right, go for it.
So it's kind of a sad song.
I'm waiting.
You know, because your youth is dead?
Yep. 100%.
I think this is good so far, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the chord composition?
I like it.
It's good.
Okay. Ready to get started.
All right.
3, 2, 1. You're old. Right?
Yep.
That's, what would you like give that?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I give it a 6 out of 10 stars.
So, David, like, how's your birthday been? David's recording on his birthday.
So far, it's been all right. We went to Lex Taste of Thailand for lunch, and that place has spring rolls that are better than anywhere else in the world that I've had so far. So, those are good.
Hey, that place has a yummy, yummy roll that's like a crunchy roll, and it's the best sushi I've ever had.
I've never gotten sushi from Lex. I need to do that.
Do it. Do it. You'll never regret it.
I usually get mine from gas stations, so anything is an
I've done that before, too. It's a terrifying prospect. Weirdly enough, gas station egg rolls are safer than gas station sushi.
That's true.
That's probably
for sure.
True.
It There's says it on fish. The package.
Yeah.
At least
Surgeon General warning. If you get this sushi, you will die. That's the Surgeon General's warning. It's very to the point. He's a general. Right,
and a surgeon.
Do you think like if all the generals in the war died, that they'd hire the Surgeon General just defaults to being the general of our army?
That's how the hierarchy works. Yes,
and then like David, in Iraq, he's like, listen, you guys need to stop smoking, and they're like, yeah, but what do? The enemy's like attacking our front, and he's like, just you know,
stop smoking.
Stop smoking. Maybe don't eat so many donuts. I'm the Surgeon General. Roger, over and out. And they're like, no, please stop. That's a thing. Anyway, so David's birthday is this week. So I think Nick prepared a poem.
I did. Would you like to hear it?
Please.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a little bit abstract. It may not rhyme, but it might rhyme.
Okay.
So here we go. today is David's birthday.
Uh-huh.
The day of his birth.
Uh-huh.
I can't put a price on David's life. It has no worth.
That was almost like you made that up on the spot, but didn't. That's pretty good.
Is that it?
I meant priceless, but no worth is the same thing.
Yeah, basically.
You can't put a price tag on friendship.
That's right.
Definitely not.
Actually, I could name a number if I was pushed, for being honest. I would sell you guys for, nothing.
What would that price be?
I don't know. Like, someone could walk up to me like, here's some gas station sushi and $30. And I'd be like, you can have David.
$30? Yeah, that's worth $30 in a pinch can come in quite handy.
Maybe I need that gas money to get to the hospital or for video
for
games.
That sushi that you ate.
The sushi, yeah. I usually eat gas station sushi on the way to the hospital. I usually scarf it down on the exit for the hospital just in case it. I don't make it.
Who's going to get there first?
Yeah.
Well, the sushi, the legend says that Tim had sushi the night Judah was born.
It's not true. I conceived him in my belly, in my womb.
Yep.
My sushi womb.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
Anyway, so we should probably get on.
Oh man!
With the birthday boys movie, because it's his day to shine.
It's okay. Your day, David.
Don't screw it up.
My movie is I was trying to come up with a crap movie, but then I realized I do have a crap movie, so I'm not gonna kid around. Have you guys seen New Jack City? Because I haven't.
No, I didn't.
Honestly, I have not.
Didn't know that was a movie.
I think it has Wesley Snipes in it. That's
yeah, it's got Wesley Snipes and Ice-T, and oddly enough, I'm pretty sure Ice-T is the cop.
Okay.
In this.
Well, that makes sense, because Wesley Snipes is literally in jail, so.
No, he's actually out now.
Isn't he?
Yeah, oh. He is.
Well, that's good.
So here's the synopsis real quick, and this is all you really need to go with my movie. And spoiler alert, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys guess. I changed two letters in this entire title to make my movie, again? And I'll let you guys guess what it is real quick. After this. All right, so the synopsis is a crime lord ascends to power and becomes you got to make me say this again.
Megalomaniacal.
While a maverick police detective vows to stop him. So, okay. Like I said, it's kind of every
movie.
Cop movie. Yeah. So, my movie is, do you guys want to guess which two letters I changed?
Okay, so New Jack City, is that what we said?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay.
Nope.
Grew?
Nope. Wrong word. I'll narrow it down for you. The middle word.
So the middle word is changed.
Yep.
So it's two letters are changed or added.
One is taken away and one is changed.
New Black City. Is it with Jack Black?
Nope.
Dang.
That's not a bad idea.
I know, right? New Brack City with Brack?
With Brack? No.
From Space
You're
Ghost?
Getting closer.
Uh-huh.
I don't
new
know
Crack City?
No.
New
Crack further City. Away.
New...
Black,
I don't know,
Jack.
Just tell us.
Yeah. All right. You're going to hate it because I hate it.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
It's New Pac City, and it's about Pac-Man and his rise to power.
And he's I kind of like it, actually.
And so, like, all right. So the synopsis is basically a cop has to stop a drug lord?
Yep. Pac-Man is most definitely the drug lord.
Okay. So Pac-Man is, like, eating these pills in this, like, maze he built.
Yes,
of a headquarters, right?
He's like, so basically what I think is that he's kind of like, this takes place like real world ish so instead of like a maze of headquarters, let's just say that he's like, he has taken over like a couple of city blocks and like rearranged them, so that's your maze or like the streets.
Yeah, okay. He just with his power,
yeah,
you know, blocked off certain things and
oh
made
yeah
all, yeah,
I mean, that's
so
what
the cop
that's what
is
going to
be
do.
Clyde the ghost, right?
Yep.
Played by Ice-T.
Played by Ice-T. Exactly.
Right. So he's got to stop. So Pac-Man has these pills.
Yeah.
Right.
Methamphetamine.
Well, they could be methamphetamine, but I was
no,
thinking.
No, wait. It's Mbop.
No, wait. No, we can make a new drug. It's our power. It's unfortunately our spiritual gift.
It's the one thing our podcast is good for.
Yeah, so what if, like, this drug makes everything feel 8-bit?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's selling 8-bit on the corner. You get yourself a dime bag of 8-bit.
It is.
It's probably a real thing.
Yeah.
It's all not, right. It should be.
Oh,
hey, drug
man.
Makers, make that a drug.
Yeah, 8-bit. I like it. All right, so he's selling this drug. Yeah, Clyde the Ghost and a couple, we're not going to say maybe all the ghosts, but, like, he's, like, two of the other ghosts are with him.
Yeah.
Hey,
Inky and Blinky.
What if we added that, like, Pac-Man was selling his drugs through video games, though? Like, somehow. Is that possible? Let's do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Well,
Grand
that's,
Theft Auto.
That's the in-app purchase.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
99 cents. But you gotta get the best value. You gotta pay the $100 to get, you know...
To get
unlimited
all the
200 gallons of 8-bit. I know it's usually in metric, but Pac-Man don't care.
Yeah, he don't play. He's...
What's a qubit? Is that a thing? Sure.
The Q-bert is a thing.
Q-bert. 200 Q-berts of 8-bit, please. So what if, what if we bring in, so, like, you remember that movie with Adam Sandler about the video games?
Pixels!
Pixels?
Yeah.
That was a bad movie, but what if this was that, but better?
Okay.
This is
yeah.
a sequel to Pixels.
This is the gritty reboot.
This is
so
the
what
better
if, like,
version of Pixels.
I think that you could do a lot of things with, like, maybe Donkey Kong being the police chief.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I like this.
And so Clyde, so does Clyde go undercover, or is he like just a normal beat cop who ends up running into this?
I think he goes undercover. Let's say maybe there's like a split in the ghost camp. And
hey,
like,
I'm confused. I just want to make sure, who's Clyde?
Clyde is one of the ghosts.
It's one of the ghosts.
I don't know the actual ghost in the game.
He's one of the ghosts.
Yeah, man. Okay. You need to work on. Look, I'm going to go home and write me a 5-page paper on Pac-Man.
Okay.
You should know. You're old enough.
Tim got what? Inky and Blinky? Those are definitely two of them. Pinky.
That's what I remembered was
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde.
Is that really what it is?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Clyde and Pinky are cops, and I think Inky and Blinky went over to Pac-Man's side. So
yeah, they're like on the take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dirtbags.
Yep.
Corrupt.
Corrupt ghostesses. Ghost cop. That's ghost our next cop. Movie.
That's our next film. That's part of this. Ghost it's cop. The prequel.
Oh, man.
So he's going undercover.
Yep.
So now, like, here's the thing. I do think that Pac-Man makes him eat one of the big pills. And then he has to eat
his partner.
What was it, Inky and Blinky?
Yeah,
he has to eat them in order to prove he's loyal.
I like this.
It's like having to kill. It's like having to kill somebody in order to prove you're like good to the mob. Right?
Oh my god!
He's just like sobbing as he eats them.
I'm sorry. Why are you doing this, Clyde? That's sad.
Okay.
That's really good, though. Yeah, like,
I like this. All right, so Pac-Man, he convinces, you know, he passes the test.
So what needs to happen is, you know, like, Pac-Man can't get hit by the ghost unless he takes the big pill, right?
Right.
So
right.
Maybe, like, there's maybe the big thing is a chase scene.
Well, yeah.
It's, yeah, so, yes. Like, you act like it's so obvious, but I came up with it so fast. There's a chase scene, right?
Yes.
Okay, how does this happen is the question.
Well, here's my thought. I think there's a chase scene, and the only way that there can be a chase scene is because they've cracked down on warehouses to find 8-bit. So they crack down on a server, and they find out where all the 8-bit is located.
Uh-huh.
And Pac-Man takes it and runs.
I have a good idea.
Okay, go for it.
All right, here we are. No, that's good. That's good, because that actually leads into this. All right, so they're cracking down on all the 8-bit. So maybe, like, that's how they're, like, trying to cut his legs out from underneath him, so there's a limited supply, right?
Okay.
So what they do is, rather than Pac-Man making his city, because he wants to expand his empire, he wouldn't limit it by making a maze. What if they trap him in the city, and he's kind of the anti-hero, and his truck is leaking drugs, I don't know, every 3 feet or so.
Okay.
One 8-bit falls out, and he's trying to capture them all before the ghosts get him. And that's how we set up the game board.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Can we cast Pac-Man real quick before we go any further?
Yeah, Kevin James, done.
John Lovett.
What?
I don't know.
No, I'm good with John Lovett. We haven't talked about
John
him ever.
Lovett's all right. That's a good.
The sheriff?
He'd make a good Pac-Man too.
That's what I was thinking.
He'd be a whiny Pac-Man.
Like, exactly. That's like, if you're gonna have Pac-Man as the villain, he's got to be whiny.
Okay.
I think that's how that needs to roll, because we got Ice-T as the like more masculine. Ish.
John Lovett's face looks like a Pac-Man already. I just looked at a picture of him. He's one third Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
Okay. Yeah.
His great grandmother was Pac-Man. So we got Pac-Man. Who's Miss Pac-Man?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Melissa McCarthy.
Nicki Minaj. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Next.
She
plays
a
very small.
So I think that's
small bit role in it, and sings like maybe the song at the credits.
Yeah. At the funeral, you mean? But yes,
you just got packed. What's the name of the song? This is
packed.
Important.
Pack
is back.
Me up and take me away.
Okay.
Pack in black.
Pack to the streets.
Pack to the streets.
Pack to the streets.
That's pretty good, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. Are we agreed? Are we agreed that this is the best title for any song ever?
Yep.
No, okay, let's just keep coming up with pack titles.
Okay.
Pack in black.
Oh, that's good. Pack in pack.
Pack
even better.
Pack.
Double
pack. Pack. I like it. Okay.
It's important.
That's all I got.
All I got.
that was short-lived.
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
I did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom, boom, pack. I don't know. We are the... I don't know.
We will pack you.
Yep.
Pack to the Future.
Pack to the, yeah.
That's,
the
that's another movie. We gotta save that.
Alright, so, alright, Nicki Minaj does the song, and she's Miss Pac-Man. Alright, so John Lovett is Pac-Man drug lord, scary Pac-Man drug lord. Can we have a scene of him just, like, brutally murdering someone? Because I don't ever see him do that in movies.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him stab somebody 40 times? No.
No. Not that I can talk about, so.
We were in Cabo. And he just stabbed the dude. You gonna help me hide this body?
Yeah, you wanna see what moderate fame will get you? He just started stabbing somebody. It was terrible.
You snorting my cocaine when I wasn't looking? I'm John Lovitz. Is that how he laughs?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at it.
Yes.
John Lovitz is just brutally stabbing. Can we just make this movie about John Lovitz being terrible?
So, okay, yeah, ooh, sure. So, yeah, I like that.
John Lovitz in yellow, like, we're not going to do any, like, 3D effects. He's just in yellow in body paint.
Yellow poofy suit.
He's wearing, like, a Speedo that they painted over, so his whole body's yellow. He's like, I'm John Lovitz. I mean, Pac-Man. I do these drugs. And they're like, you don't actually have to take the drugs. That's just flour. And he's like, I have to take the drugs. I'm like, oh, gosh. He just snorted, like, a whole, like, Scarface desk full of flour. John Lovitz is a character actor for real. Like, he's got this. Method acting.
Oh, man.
He invented a drug called 8-Bit, then got addicted to it so he could be, like, in the role of the movie. Classic John Lovitz.
Classic
gotta love
John
him.
Lovitz.
Man.
All right.
All I can think about with John Lovitz is that scene from The Wedding Singer where he is the replacement wedding singer and he's terrible.
Yeah.
That's basically this, except for imagine him all yellow. So,
okay.
That scene could be in it. We'll just post production add yellow to him. I don't care. If we were trying to cut corners, I mean, we got John Lovitz already.
What if it's just a like big yellow splotch? Like, we just film normal John Lovitz, but then we just like, yeah, after effects it, and it's just a
we
big
were just
yellow
like,
sprite.
Man, he does not look good in a Speedo. Oof. All right, I guess. We'll put this still 8-bit image of Pac-Man over him the whole time.
And it'll just sound like John Lovitz.
And then, like, every once in a while, you see an arm reach out of the Pac-Man and stab a dude for him. As John Lovitz just cracks up.
I like this.
All right, so where's this going?
Well, I mean, ultimately, Clyde, Ice-T, and John Lovitz have to face off.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, maybe this super pill is there, so he knows, like, if he takes that, he'll be strong enough to kill Ice-T, because Ice-T is 100 times stronger than John Lovitz. That's a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe he needs, like, his PCP, like, strength in order to defeat Clyde.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
I like it.
I am down.
So maybe they're racing towards it, and Ice-T Clyde has to jump in front of it, to jump in, like, tackle him before he gets to it.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's like the whole scene of in the game, you know, when you run for the big pill.
Yeah.
So he gets there, of course, because, you know, it can't be the hero wins automatically. Okay. So how does Clyde think his way out of this one?
No, I think the hero should die and the villain should rise.
No, that's what I'm saying. The villain gets the pill, and because, you know, he can't win on the first try. That's just not going to work.
Right.
So maybe Ice-T realizes he has to take a different strategy and take Nicki Minaj
hostage.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. He's got Miss Pac-Man hostage.
And John Lovitz is like, she's the best I can do. Please don't. For real.
Have you seen me? I peaked.
I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm John Lovitz. He does yell John Lovitz a lot. We have to do something about that, but that's okay. It'll be fine.
I'm okay with it.
At the end of the movie, we're like so embarrassed that we... cast John Lovitz that we put Kevin James' name on it. You're just like, I guess it's better. I don't know. John Lovitz is probably a great dude for real, but for the sake
probably
of
not.
Comedy,
nah.
I'm sorry,
probably
I'm a
not.
Suffer.
I don't think he is.
He did stab a guy in Cabo in front of David.
Yep.
So, all right, so that she's got her hostage, and John Lovitz is like, no, I'll do anything. And then I don't know. Clyde says, die. He shoots him.
Yes.
And then, like, there's, like, a little Pac-Man animated blood, and then it goes, bloop, bloop, however that noise is. You know what I'm talking about? Bloop.
And then Clyde has to eat Mrs. Pac-Man because she witnessed him just brutally murder.
Done deal.
Wait, though. We didn't do the waka, 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 waka with John Lovitz. How do you think he'd say that?
Lovitz, 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 Lovitz.
This movie turned out.
I want to play this game.
This movie turned out better than it should have.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
David, throw a 30-second pitch on that and let's wrap it up.
All right.
Stupid.
Everything we just said.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Pac-Man, this is New Pac City, and Pac-Man is taking a role as the villain in this dramatic tale. And he's peddling a new drug called 8-Bit through in-app purchases, trying to get the little kitties. Clyde, the ghost, played by Ice-T, is a cop with Pinky, and Inky and Blinky are cops on the take from Pac-Man. And Clyde has to infiltrate the gang, which means that he has to prove his willingness to, or basically prove that he's not an undercover cop. Pac-Man John Lovitz forces Clyde. To eat the other two cops that are on the take, mm-hmm. Inky and Blinky. So Clyde eats them. They're delicious. And
he hates to admit how delicious they are.
he's hot on the trail, and I think that Pac-Man kind of figures out that there's a mole in the operation. There must be an undercover cop, so he goes on the run, and it all ends in a climactic chase scene, which then ends in Ice-T, Clyde shooting Pac-Man John Lovitz to death in front of his Nicki Minaj, Mrs. Pac-Man wife, and
very unlikely.
Then he has to eat Mrs. Pac-Man. Clyde eats Miss Pac-Man to get rid of any witness of him just murdering a suspect in cold blood.
Well, John Lovitz kind of had it coming by being alive.
He did, but you can't just shoot
people. The weird thing is, like, most people don't know this, the scene in the film where Pac-Man gets shot and dies, it was actually Ice-T actually shooting John Lovitz.
Yeah.
I just updated the Wikipedia to say that.
It was his make-a-wish.
Up next... Unpitchable recommends.
Recommends.
Awesome. David, I loved when you did that last episode.
That's pretty great. That should be part of the thing.
Recommends.
We'll make that a thing.
We all say it in our deepest voice on one, 3, 2, 1.
Recommends.
3, 2, 1.
Recommends.
Okay, that's not going to work. I think David and I are probably going to have the same recommends.
We are, okay. For sure.
Go for it.
Well, because I think like we have a little bit to talk about. Exactly.
Oh, well, if you guys want to go last, mine is super short.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my recommends is actually another podcast. It's actually called Bunker Buddies.
Bunker Buddies. Yeah.
Travis McElroy.
Yeah, it's a McElroy podcast with another girl. Her name's Andy. And they go into like scenarios for the apocalypse. It's kind of like it's not really a prepper podcast, but it's like kind of ridiculous scenarios. Like if you were a prepper, and like they've done them based off of like, what if Waterworld really happened? And what if there was an EMP and food shortages?
That sounds all right.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. It's like, it's not, I like, if I had to give it like, I don't know, Dead Orphans, it's probably like 5 out of 10 Dead Orphans.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, honestly.
Depends on how much you actually, like or hate orphans, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good podcast. I'd say probably 6-7 out of 10 stars.
Cool.
I have a good time with it. It's one of those podcasts where you can just pick up and listen anywhere, because usually the conversation is always funny.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, that's
Travis,
all I got.
Travis really is a pretty funny dude.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. I would recommend it too. I've only listened to a few episodes, but I enjoyed my time with it. So if you're looking for a podcast to fill the gaps, can't go wrong with a macro joint.
If you just gotta have something between unpitchable, I guess. You could do worse.
If you're 1 hour of happiness. So David and I have been watching a show on Netflix called Stranger Things.
Oh yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, Nick hasn't heard of this show, so we're gonna be very we're gonna talk slow and use simple words so you can understand. David, how would you describe Stranger Things?
All right, so Stranger Things is if Stand By Me and The X-Files had a baby
with a little bit of Twin Peaks.
For as much as it's like mediocre for me, like that's actually a apt description.
Nick hasn't watched all the show yet.
So. I've only watched the first two episodes, and it's all right.
Nick is a Nick is in denial at the moment.
Okay.
But his recommend will be Stranger Things here in the future, for sure.
Yep.
That's, given my track record, that's probably true.
The thing with Nick, though, like, for real, like, you love 80s movies. Like, you were talking about how much you love Stand By Me the other day.
You will watch another episode.
If you give it a chance. But,
yeah, I'll watch another episode.
If anyone else is on the fence and you like the classic 80 movies, it's not trying to steal what they did. Yeah. It's kind of an homage. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
The set design is just amazing.
It's so good.
I will say this. The soundtrack from Stranger Things and just the first two episodes was really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really awkward to listen to Toto's Africa while people make out, though. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I feel weird about this.
Yeah, everything about that show is just, they just nail it. The music, everything just adds to each other and just builds into this just beautiful show.
So what's the premise, David?
So the premise is, and I will do my best not to get spoilery at all. I
think you can go over what the description is in Netflix, basically. And that
the basic premise is that these kids, it's kind of centered around these four kids. Yeah, four. One of them goes missing. And at the same time, some other strange kind of like weird things happen. There's a mysterious girl that shows up. Kind of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of this like ominous like scientific research base in this town that
like
people have rumors about, and it's just, it's so cool. So basically the crux of the story wraps around them trying to find their missing friend. And from the kid's perspective, which is kind of where Stand By Me comes in, and then the cop and the mother's perspective of trying to find them.
You don't see a lot of they talked about, like, this show was rejected like 15 times.
That's insane. I did see that.
And so what they were talking about was the fact that, like, producers wanted them to have the kids have, like, the kids shouldn't be playing a serious role, was the idea.
Right.
Which, I mean, kind of like, if you look at this, they do such a good job of, first off, portraying what it feels like to be a kid and thinking you have a secret.
Yeah.
When in turn, they actually do. But, and also, they do a great job of just, the kids don't feel tacked on.
No.
They feel like an integral part of the story.
I'm not like the biggest fan of like kids in movies, because sometimes just they're not great. But like, these kids are so good in this show. Like, everybody in this show is good. But those kids,
look at those kids and realize I had a friend like that.
Yeah,
yeah. It was really disappointing. Like, when I skipped to the last episode and you found out the kids are the ones who murdered him.
that's really
that
what
didn't
happens.
Happen. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
So they're the supporting cast. The whole cast is really good. What is the name of the main lady? I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder. Her name is Joyce.
Winona Ryder. Yeah. Yes, she is really good in this film, in this movie, in this show, whatever it is. So that's what the thing that's weird is. It does feel like watching a long movie.
It does. So I've watched one episode a night, except for last week when I couldn't watch any at all. Instead, I really did want to binge it, but I've kind of enjoyed watching one episode at a time.
Yeah.
It gives me a minute to digest everything. So I'm on the last episode. I hopefully will finish that tonight.
My wife, like, mainlined the first seven episodes in one night.
I kind of want to go back
and
do that.
She wasn't interested. And then she watched it again, and she was like, this is really good.
And see if I can get Brandy into it that way, because it's good.
So I won't say any, like, we're not going to talk spoilers, but the sheriff, the guy who plays the sheriff.
He's so good.
He is fantastic.
He's a good dude. Name's David Harbour.
He's a really good actor.
He's been into some other stuff, but like this is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was in Quantum of Solace, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
That's the only thing I remember him from.
So he's been in a couple things, and he's not like unknown or anything, but just he kills this role.
Yeah.
And he basically plays a sheriff on the edge a little bit.
Yep.
That's about all we'll go into. And he's trying to figure out what's going on in the town that's weird. Because, you know, he's from the big city, so he's kind of seen more than most people in the town would see. Most people in the town would ignore it. But he's he's great. He punches his way through all his problems.
Yep.
And I can appreciate that. Because sometimes in a film, you're like, just punch that guy. Just punch him and solve this.
My favorite thing about this is that it doesn't go the route that you think it's going to go, where the kids know something and the adults never believe them.
I think that's fine.
At some point, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good, because everybody's kind of like,
so,
what's happening?
So what you're saying is that the people involved in the film
can actually think.
Yeah. It's like actual, like, it's more realistic than it would be in a standard. Well, it's the thing is, it's not focusing on the kids or the adults, it's focusing on the people.
Right.
And that's what I think separates the children actors and the children writing from other TV shows, is because they're just treated as people.
Yeah.
Sure, that their understanding of things isn't – maybe they don't understand the complications or the consequences for their actions as much as an adult would.
Right.
But that actually causes them to believe and do things that adults might not. And so that actually makes it more compelling.
Yep.
I really, really like this show. I watched it all in about a weekend.
It's good. It's good.
I would highly recommend it. It's TV-14.
Yeah.
It's a little language. But it's I mean, all in all, such a good show. And they do such a good job of just like paying homage to 80s movies and just – I can't even talk about it without saying anything. But just watch this show. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you're not convinced by the first episode, I'll be surprised. But
there are those of us who weren't convinced.
there's the 1%, the 99% disagree with
the something that I thought about, and then we'll wrap this up.
Sure.
Not even necessarily about Stranger Things, but it just made me think after seeing, you know, all the kids in this show. I haven't looked at the cast, but I really hope that the people remaking it look at these kids in this show and model. Like,
that would be
that movie. Amazing. It is very much centered around like the kids.
Yeah.
For the two thirds of that movie. So I hope that they take notes on how to like write kids back in like the 80s. Cause man, like if they do that, like that movie's gonna be great.
Yeah, I agree. That would be pretty awesome.
Up next is another movie.
Yeah, it's me, I think. Yeah. So, yep. I have a few on here that are real stupid. I'm trying to pick real quick. Let's go with... this one's real bad. You guys can... We can skip this if you want, but I think we should stick with it. John Carey and the Hendersons.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you guys have seen Harry and the Hendersons, have you?
Yes.
I have, and it's fantastic, and I love that you just did this.
Yeah. What's the main guy's name? I looked it up before.
The actor?
I'm bad with names.
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, thank you. So John Lithgow and his family, basically in the movie, they hit a Sasquatch with their car. And that's the start.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. So I mean, that's going to stay, right?
Yes.
We're not changing that. This is a retelling.
So wait.
Maybe John Carey's like this mythical creature.
Yeah, so they're going to hit John Carey with a car, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I like this. Because I obviously don't know where he's been since that one election.
Yeah.
He could conceivably just stepped off into the woods.
John Carey has no personality, though, is what's so funny. So this is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so I figure, like, he just disappeared after. I don't even remember what election he was in. We're at that point in my life where I don't know.
That's fair. I don't either.
Did he fight George W. Bush?
He ran with Gore?
Yeah, maybe.
He did. You're right. It was maybe, Gush. It was Gush.
So
it was
maybe
Gush.
It's like... Maybe it's W driving the car. And he's like, oh, goodness, I hit a Carey. Is that a Carey? He gets out and he's surprised. We can make some money off this. And he ties him to the roof. And he's like, you know what Dad used to say? And he ties him to the roof. That's all George W. Bush does. When he's not when he walks, he makes noises the whole time. He's like the least stealthy person. If someone had broken into the White House while he was president... And he had to sneak around a corner. It would be like, quiet. And then he would have proceeded to rear naked choke all of them. But so anyway, George W. Bush and his family.
Yep.
You could say Barbara was driving, but that's kind of messed up.
Wait, so is it not Carey and the Henderson? It's Bush.
It's John Carey and the Hendersons, but played by George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you just ignore the fact that the last name's in the title. How about you do that for me? Maybe George W. Bush is under witness protection.
Okay.
I like this.
Because I don't know how else I'm going to explain.
Let's go with witness protection because I love that.
But it's much better for him to be the driver than anybody else, for sure.
For sure.
So he ties John Carey to the roof of his car.
Yep.
And he drives
him home. And so they think John Carey's dead.
Yes.
And who's going to be the little intrusive
Hunter?
Little boy who asks questions?
That's a good question.
Let's make it...
John Lovitz.
Let's make it that kid from Iron Man. I don't know that kid's name, but you'll think of...
I believe you were talking about Robert Downey Jr.
You're correct. That's exactly
his most
who I was
taxing
talking about.
Role yet.
Playing a 9-year-old
still got the
boy.
Goatee though. It's weird.
That would be really fantastic. Yeah, that's gonna stay. So there's a hunter that's chasing down
John Carey.
John Kerry, of course, because that's how it is in the
I got an idea.
All right.
Can I throw my idea in?
Do it. Got really excited. Now I feel like it's not that great. Do it. But we're going to go with it anyway.
This better be amazing.
So this is Trump's America, right?
Sure.
And so because Trump is a, like, you know how, like, there's anti-heroes? Trump is an anti-politician, even though he's a politician. Okay. So, like, they're hunting down politicians, right? So Bush is in witness protection because they're hunting down politicians. So okay. Bush, and then John Kerry is just roaming through the woods trying not to get caught. And then Bush hits him with his car. And that's how this whole thing starts.
Okay, I can agree with that. You think Trump is, like, just building walls around politicians?
Yes.
My dog is barking.
That's okay.
I'm going to have to choke her. Hold on. Ignore the noises you hear.
Okay.
So John Kerry. So who's hunting them down, though? Is it like, is it Donald Trump? Because I think he's overused a little bit.
I think it's Dick Cheney.
You think, oh, yeah, of course it's Cheney. He shot a dude in the face and had to apologize to Dick Cheney. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He shot a guy in the face with a shotgun, and that guy said, "I'm so sorry for the pain this has caused your family." There's no reason for that. So, yeah, he's hunting down John Kerry. I'm willing to believe that.
Yeah,
for he's sure. Like Trump's America. That's what he says.
Yep.
so they bring this guy home, right? John Kerry.
Yes.
All right. So the whole crux of the story is, you know, this hunter's trying to get him, and I think in Harry and the Hendersons, they basically learn Harry learns to trust the Hendersons. So let's just say John Kerry's in their shed or wherever he's at, because I can't remember. And George goes out there. He's like, "Yep, Kerry." I don't know how George W. Bush would go undercover when he talks like that, but like he goes to the supermarket and they're like, Mr. Henderson? And they're like, okay, that's George W. Bush. That didn't last very long. But I'll suspend my disbelief. We'll just go with that. I think what happens in the movie is he goes out there and he checks on him and he's alive, right?
Right.
And then he runs away.
Okay.
In the film. He does.
Okay.
If we're going by the film, if this is a retelling of the story, he runs away. So my thing is like, all right, John Kerry runs away and he tries to escape George W. Bush because he doesn't trust him.
Okay.
I think the guy's name is George in Harry and the Hendersons.
It can be.
I believe it was.
George Henderson. This
all works out. It all works out. Sounds good, at least.
Mm-hmm. And it also probably helps George not have to remember his entire alias. So. Win-win.
Bush party of two.
Yes.
It's like I'm hiding, but I'm not.
For all of this.
Ha, the best thing to do is hide in plain sight. Like, get off the local news. They'll find you.
His name was George Henderson.
It was, see?
Yeah.
I read the synopsis today, so I'm not like a savant. I just remembered because of that. So he escapes, and he's in the city. And so, like, there's going to be a bunch of sightings of Kerry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I like this. This is good.
Right? So it's going to be like the Bigfoot sightings.
Okay.
What do you think? Yeah?
Yes.
But people don't believe it's Kerry because they don't think they haven't seen him in years.
Well, look how he walks, and they just like keep replaying the tape. Look at that old man beard.
Look at that shuffle. That's Kerry.
Look at that political shuffle. You can tell. You can tell it's Kerry. Like Kerry experts around the news. I've been hunting Kerry all my life.
He stepped in like wet cement.
For certain, that's a real Kerry. Yeah.
Those are Kerry loafers if I've ever seen one.
That's a Kerry print. It's like a loafer. That's great. He's got like a cast mold in his office. He'd be like, I found this in the woods. We believe it's from a Kerry. adult Kerry. Age 70. That's probably close to right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets out there. So Dick Cheney's totally seeing this on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he knows where to go now.
Yes.
So George eventually feels bad because he knows that this thing's alive. He had a change of heart because he seems kind.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going to go try to get him back so he doesn't get killed.
Okay.
But Dick Cheney's trying to hunt him down. Okay. All right. Right?
Right.
So, like, what is the action here of, like, him finding how does he...
I was about to say, how do you think he tracks him?
George W. Bush?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's a really good question. Maybe, like, he asked people if they believe in global warming, and if John Kerry had been, like, spreading his gospel of global warming, then they would say yes, and he would follow that.
Okay.
And George is like, nothing's warm. Ha-ha! Never felt warmth in my life. Ha-ha! Don't believe in it.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not ignoring you. I was double checking the plot. I wanted to.
Lost in the John Kerry fan fiction that's on the internet.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know if you've been on my website. but it's called Writing with Carrie. And it's all about John Carrie fan fiction. He's basically a superhero in my life. My greatest role model. So he's trying to hunt him, how does he track him? That's a good question. Does he just by luck stumble on him?
Probably. I mean, that's probably the most.
That's how his family struck oil, yeah. Right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His granddaddy fell into an oil shaft.
His grandfather was just throwing dynamite.
What's down this hole? What's down that dynamite?
So I was thinking at some point in Harry and the Hendersons, doesn't Harry run to like a museum? And
I believe that
I can't find it online, but I wanted. I'm pretty sure
George goes to a museum to ask for help.
That's right, and
so there's a museum curator or something like that.
Yeah, so I think like
it's played by Nicki Minaj.
Yes. Okay. So they go Nicki Minaj
in her starring role in her like most serious role she's ever done.
She's a museum curator for politicians, previous politicians. Like, it's kind of like in Demolition Man when they go to the museum where there's all the history of guns. It's the history of politicians.
It's like that presidential thing you go to at Disney and you don't really want to be there, but there's air conditioning. It's just like that.
So they grab Nicki Minaj because she knows all about the Carries.
Of course, she's a Carrie fiend. What's it called when you've been trying to find a Carrie all your life? Like, people who try to find Sasquatch probably are the name, right?
Squatters, isn't it?
Squatters. It has to be. If it's not, it should be. What if a squat... hunting that Squatch.
Squatch. I just came up with another idea for a movie.
Get your Squatch on. Squatching it old school.
So they take Nicki Minaj back to their house to study the Carries.
So I think, like, first off, we still need to decide what they're called. Are they Carriers? Are they Carrions? Carrions?
Yeah, let's call them Carrions.
Carrions?
Carrions.
Care Truthers. Truth Carries.
You're done.
Carry on, my wayward sons.
Yes, that's it.
Maybe that's what he blares in order to find John Kerry. But he emphasizes the carry every time he sings it. It's all right. I like your thing of bringing her home.
Okay. And so, for some reason, because she knows how to catch Carrie, or she knows so much about Carrie, she's able to catch Carrie.
What if she writes a bill? Like, this is how you catch a politician, right?
Well,
you write a bill and you put some kickbacks in it, and he's got a sign. He can't resist. It's on a fishing hook. She like casts it out into the forest, and he's just clicking it. And she like lures him in.
I like it.
All right.
Just as Dick Cheney fires a shot, like he ducks down to grab the bill to sign, and he gets dragged out of the woods, and they jump him in the car and they run away.
I like it.
Done deal.
So they go back to the house,
okay,
with this guy, right? So now what? So I think in the movie, the museum person says, you know, I'll help you get this Sasquatch back to the woods. So I think that's what they're doing here is Carrie. They're trying to get John Carrie back into the political woods.
Hold on. Whoa. There needs to be a moment where John Carrie destroys the house.
Well, I thought that was a given.
Okay. So how would John Carrie destroy a house, guys?
He'd have his people do it.
Okay. And when he's done destroying the house, like his servants and stuff come and clean it back up.
Carrie smash! And he just breaks the coffee table in half.
And by
breaks the coffee table in half, I mean he realizes he has arthritis and he decides not to. It's just acting up on me. The weather's been bad, you know? The pressure.
Yeah.
So then they're going to try to like get him back to his people, his carrions. In the woods.
Because
I think at this point, it's in the future, and John Kerry has been fruitful and multiplied, for sure. So there's a lot of Kerrys running around the woods. Just little boys wearing suits that look just like John Kerry.
And already got salt and pepper hair.
It's actually a genetic trait. Weirdly enough. You got to do the little T-squares thing. It always comes out 100% salt and pepper hair. So I think this is, you know, I think the eventual climax of this movie is John Kerry versus Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
So they're in the woods, right? In the movie, George hits the Sasquatch to try to get him to leave. Like, you can't be here.
But what? He won't.
It happens. Oh, I don't remember how it happens exactly, but it does. Yeah, he does. For sure. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. He doesn't, like, you know, throat punch him, I don't think, but he's like, you gotta go. I'm sorry, you can't be here. Because, like, you know, it's like trying to, like,
yeah,
you throw rocks at your dog. You can't stay.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, like when you throw rocks at your dog.
Throw rocks at your dog. You guys never did that?
No.
You're not my dog anymore. And then you throw a giant rock at them, and then they're not your dog anymore. Because you're dead.
That's terrifying. You please stop talking about dirty animals.
One time I did that to my brother Josh. Like, you're not my brother anymore.
I really hope that happened.
That didn't happen. Oh, I think I have thrown rocks at Josh before, but that's a different story.
We've thrown lots of stuff at Josh.
I for sure have thrown rocks at Josh. I was a bad older brother. So,
final showdown.
So he tries to get him to go away, and he won't. And Dick Cheney shows up with a shotgun, and George is like, not now, Cheney. I found something to believe in. Other than God and oil. Hoo-hah.
Okay.
9/11 was an inside job. You didn't hear from me. Ha ha. Like, whoa, okay, relax. Cheney's like about to shoot Carrie and him fight over the gun, and George realizes that, like, the only thing he can do is, like, stand in between John Kerry and this gun.
Okay,
right. And then Dick Cheney sees, and he's like, maybe there is such a thing as true love, right?
Right.
Like, maybe there is hope. And he has a change of heart. He lets John Kerry run off and frolic with all of his people, and that's the end of the movie. We ended on a positive note for once. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Dick Cheney does accidentally shoot a dude in the face, and that guy does apologize on the news for getting shot in the face. It still bothers me. He's like, all you did, sir, was occupy the space that Dick Cheney's gun just happened to go off in. Like, that's, you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, anyway, that's most of it.
Okay.
I think that's it. So you guys cool with that? Anything you want to add? Any, like, special scenes, like, after the credits?
There's that weird scene at the end of Harry and the Hendersons where they, like...
Where Robert Downey Jr. asks him to be a part of the Avengers? Because he's already in the movie. We never talked about it.
No. There's the weird scene where they're, like, talking about hunting Loch Ness monsters for no reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's always the Loch Ness monster.
Which, yeah.
It's the sequel. Loch Ness and the Hendersons.
There's always Nessie, the Obamas. The,
yeah, former President Obama.
Yeah,
he lives in an ocean.
And then, like, they're staring at the forest, and all of a sudden, like, all the other Harry and the Hendersons pop out.
Yeah, and then it's all the Carries, little boys in suits and little girls in suits, adult women and adult men in suits. And he's like, I have to go be with my people. And then George is like, you can talk, Carry. Okay. What? All this time. And he just jumps in the car and he leaves. That's the end. So, is that it?
I think so. That was a pretty good one, actually.
That was pretty stupid. So, let's go ahead and wrap this up with a 30-second pitch. I want to go quick with this. So, George W. Bush and his family are driving in a car. I made the joke earlier about Barbara Bush driving the car because, you know, she hit somebody and killed
them.
Actually
a good joke.
It's not funny. I just wanted to let you know that was the joke I was making earlier.
So I get it now. I get it now.
It's sad. Okay, so 30-second pitch for John Kerry and the Hendersons is George W. Bush and his family are driving through the woods. They're in the Witness Protection Program. They're known as the Hendersons now. And all politicians are hunted, so John Kerry is especially wily. He's got a price in his head that's pretty high. And George W. Bush hits him with his car, thinks he killed him, and he's going to go turn it in for the profits. Long story short, he finds out that he's alive. They become friends, and George W. Bush has to help John Kerry fight off Dick Cheney and his rogue shotgun, Lucy. That's what the name of the shotgun
Lucy.
Is. In order... to save John Kerry's life. And in the end, John Kerry, he escapes to the woods with his people forever to write bills into Congress, et cetera, et cetera.
I like it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right,
awesome.
Nick.
Awesome. So I was kind of thinking, like, you know, like, in society today, we reboot a lot of things. Like, we've rebooted Spider-Man twice. We rebooted Batman twice. We've rebooted Star Trek. But nobody reboots, like, sad movies. Like, sad, inspirational love movies. And I was thinking...
This is Million Dollar Baby 2.
No, but there is a sequel for that on my list.
Oh, Lord.
So I was just thinking, like, what if we took a sad movie and rebooted it to make it happier?
Okay.
And
this is
I
the
was
positive
think,
podcast.
Yes, welcome to the Posicast.
Maybe minus John Lovett stabbing people 40 times.
You know, Schindler's List was a really sad movie,
oh,
right?
No.
Okay.
Well, my, let's reboot it.
Everything after this is, I'm not, like, in any way represented by this. This is Nick's own belief.
So,
I'd be more concerned if you let off with Schindler's List was a happy movie.
Yeah. Hold on, just listen. I said Schindler's List was a pretty sad movie.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, to give you guys the synopsis for anybody who hasn't seen it, Schindler's List is about this guy who owns a factory in Nazi Germany, and somehow he comes into the determination, he makes this deal with the government to leave the Jews who work at his factory alone. And so he keeps employing more and more Jews in order to save their lives. So I was thinking, like, if we rebooted that, we'd call it, I don't know, maybe Sandler's List?
Okay. And it's, oh, Lord, this has to be Adam Sandler hiring out-of-work actors.
Oh, my gosh, yes! All right, that's all I wanted. I knew you guys would pick it up.
So they're not murdered in The Purge, of course.
Yes. Well, The Purge
was the
idea.
We are avoiding the Holocaust at all costs.
Yes, I didn't want it to be that.
Okay. That's enough.
I didn't want to make anything too, like, tacky, but I wanted to be able to just to use the word Sandler's List, really.
That's pretty funny. Okay. I'm okay with this because you've avoided offending most
everybody.
80% of the population.
I don't know. It's probably more like 70%.
But still. So, Sandler's List. So, he's like, man, what do we do with this movie, though?
Would you guys want my setup?
Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. That's
Bucky Larson!
So, actually, when I told Josh about this idea, his only response is, so he's basically hiring out-of-work actors. And I said, yeah. And he said, that's where Chris Farley's been this whole time. So,
gotta tell you, Adam, they got this Shrek thing going on. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about this Shrek thing. I need you to put me in hiding. And then it became famous. It became, Mike Myers was like, look, I got this. I'll do anything.
Poor Mike Myers.
Dude, he's a love guru. You shut your mouth.
He was also Austin Powers.
Well, he was until he became a love guru.
All right, so my general thought process on this is, like, in the future, like, only comic book movies are being made, right? And so, like, Adam Sandler decides to kind of dive into that genre. And so if you're not in a comic book movie, they start blacklisting
you. Oh, wait, this all started with Paul Rudd. He, like, made the jump.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, he made the jump from comedy to superhero movie.
He did it.
And so it's like there's room for comedy actors in those movies, but they're not usually what they want to be. So Adam Sandler,
Trash Can Boy in the X-Men. Congratulations, yeah. Kevin James.
Adam Sandler creates his own movie studio factory. Movie studio, no factory.
Sweatshop.
Yes, movie and so sweatshop. He makes a deal with Hollywood to not blacklist any actors at his studio.
All right.
And so he starts picking up actors like Kevin James and Melissa McCarthy and, you know, like Terry Crews and those kinds of people.
Terry Crews could be a superhero.
He could be, but
he already is. Have you seen his, like, pec muscles move? It's
have.
A superpower. Like, if you were trapped under a car, he wouldn't use his arms on principle. He would just use his pec muscles.
Okay.
Don't say okay. It's the truth.
Okay.
Say you believe me.
I believe
you. Say you believe in Terry Crews above all.
I believe in Terry Crews above all.
Thank you. Now we can proceed.
The things you do to keep a podcast going.
I believe in Terry Crews. And then it's like a lady.
You either die a hero. No, wait. You either die a hero, live long enough to see yourself become Terry Crews.
That would be great. That'd be all right, what are you talking about?
if some point in my life I just eventually morphed into Terry Crews, all would be right with the world.
So good. Dude, I would kill to have his bicep muscle spread out over my whole body. Like, that guy's that ripped, dude.
All right, so yeah,
because he takes Mbop.
So he's basically creating movies. So I feel like maybe this is just a good jumping off point for us to just try and call, like, the next, I don't know, 14,000 Adam Sandler movies that come out on Netflix.
Well, that was kind of my idea, was that he just keeps creating bad movies in order to keep actors working.
Yeah, so we got okay. So the roster.
This is a documentary.
The roster that we got is David Spade, Nick Swardson, Kevin James.
Yeah. That's right.
That one dude who says Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star.
Yeah, whatever his
Rob name Schneider. Is. Let's Rob not forget Schneider. Rob Schneider.
Al Pacino. He's been in a couple of Sandler movies lately.
Yes.
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, Henry Winkler.
Covered in bees, always.
Covered in bees.
Kathy Bates.
Yes.
I think she was only in one Adam Sandler movie, but we're using
Chris Rock. Late. He's been in a few of them.
That's probably good.
He's not going to
Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. Let's get Shaquille in there. We got David Spade, right?
Are you saying Shaquille O'Neal wasn't the best superhero when he was in the movie Steel? Because I think we're going to have some more.
We've got to move past that.
I think that's what got him thrown in here.
Yeah.
Good. So, so he keeps making movies. What's our overall problem now?
I like David's idea of just making up Adam Sandler movies.
Okay, let's do it then.
All right. Let's.
You got Grandma's. David just goes through his list to find bad movies.
I'm gonna throw out three actors' names that we have to build a movie.
This is a great game.
Cast them.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Okay. With Henry Winkler, Nick Swardson, and Rob Schneider. Adam Sandler is also in all of these, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Maybe Adam Sandler is the star of all of them.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he doesn't have to be.
No, he is.
He at least plays a big role in all of them.
He is.
So, Adam Sandler plays, I don't know, a milkman.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I like this. What's Rob happening? Schneider
is his plucky bulldog.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it. Adam Sandler's the milkman, all right? Henry Winkler is, like, the older milkman. Like they've got competing routes.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
This is such a movie. This is such a real
this
movie.
This is like the Paper Brigade. This
the
is
milk
like the
maniac.
Paper Brigade from Disney. But
you
milk.
Get it?
Hold on. Let me think of the title for a minute. Milk Maniac is the working title, at least. Who else are we? Nick Swardson. Who is he? He's
gonna play like the really weird dude.
Regular,
he's neighborhood security. Like, you know how like rich neighborhoods have security instead of police officers? Yeah.
And he's like, hey Adam, you ever seen me with my shirt off? He's like, please stop.
This movie is definitely called Spilled Milk, by the way.
Spilled Milk.
Okay, Spilled Milk.
Yeah,
that's good. That's pretty good.
Adam,
maybe the tagline is,
we'll give you the rights to this movie.
Yeah, the tagline is these milkman dash EX.
Yeah.
We'll make you laugh.
All right, David, hit the second movie. Who's casting that?
The guy from Bucky Larson that talks
okay.
funny.
Okay.
I don't know his name.
He's like a 10-second whatever from
10-second
Days too, right?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Kathy Bates.
Okay.
And Chris Rock. And, of course, Adam Sandler again.
Adam Sandler, of course, is in this film.
Yeah.
So, really, the only thing you have to do to write an Adam Sandler movie is take a scenario where Adam Sandler can just be Adam Sandler. That he hasn't already been, which is difficult.
Okay.
So what if Adam Sandler's an astronaut?
Okay.
Okay.
I like this.
Yeah.
He's an astronaut. Okay. Kathy Bates is, I think she works like Houston. She's like on the ground mission control.
That makes sense. I had to look up Kathy Bates. Now it all makes sense. She's like the,
she's the woman that
surly...
Nick is secretly attracted to in the back of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Didn't I say something about her being more attractive?
Did.
Okay.
And you were just like...
She's like a less attractive Kathy Bates, I think is your exact words.
That's what I said.
What? Right. When did this happen? Wait, no, this is important.
You were
that
here for this.
That we very, 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 very much explore all of this. What has Kathy Bates been in? That's
she's the mom
know.
From The Waterboy.
Okay,
she's
that's perfect.
Foosball is the devil.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher.
She was in Misery.
Yeah, she's in Misery.
Sure.
She was also
in
Office.
So Nick is just really attracted to people who break people's legs. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hold on. All right. So astronaut. We got astronaut. We got mission control.
Mission control. Okay. Who else was in
it?
Chris Rock?
And then the guy who talks weird is his launch mate who messes up the mission.
Yes.
Oh no, Adam!
They're stranded.
What are these buttons
do?
Oh, you did it again! You did it again, Charlie.
And what are we gonna call this?
Wait, we got one more person. Chris Rock, right?
Chris Rock.
Oh, Chris Rock.
Maybe Chris Rock plays
Rock
the alien
onboard computer.
No, Chris Rock is a stowaway.
Okay, all right.
But it's actually Chris Rock playing himself.
Okay. Wait, are they going to Mars to pick up?
David Wayans.
If you want to make this in between that, I am okay with that. Yes, they're going to pick up David Wayans' body, but it's not his body.
This is like a sequel, but it's in between the movies?
Yeah, so they're trying to pick up his body, but when they get there, he's still alive. Somehow he survived off the knowledge Matt Damon taught him.
And then they all have to draw straws for who has to ride home with Damon Wayans.
I think it's more they have to draw straws with who gets to stay on Mars and
that's
not have
what
to
I
drive
mean.
Home. Yeah, who gets to perish on Mars and live a happy life.
It takes
life.
A real dark turn. If I draw straws, I mean Russian roulette.
Yeah. Who brings a revolver on a spaceship? So this, what's this movie called?
Oh man,
Zero Gravity.
Starboy.
Okay. Starboy.
Right, it's good.
Yeah, Starboy. I like it. All right, what's the third one?
All right, one more movie. We gotta get one more movie out of this. This factor.
We're rolling pretty fast. Let's keep it going.
This is, dude. Spilled Milk is gonna be a movie when he hears this.
Adam Sandler had like his people just write that down on a notepad. Like he has like more bugs in people's houses than the NSA.
Out of all the movies we've ever created, that is the most closest to happening already.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
We should just run. Let's just stop right now and go write Adam Sandler scripts. What are we doing?
What are we doing? We could have been doing this the whole time.
We just need to send Happy Madison Productions our podcast.
All right, so
yeah, who could be in a movie? That was a good idea. I had to write that down. That's why I paused. Kevin James is in this one. Adam Sandler. Who else do we say? Have we not used anybody?
We haven't used Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
And we haven't used, we used Rob Schneider. I think, just put anybody else in here.
We'll use Rob Schneider again.
So we got Shaquille O'Neal. I think that's a good start. So Rob Schneider can be in it. That's good.
Rob Schneider, Shaquille O'Neal, Adam Sandler, and...
Nicki Minaj. And so...
Yep.
Nicki Minaj.
For some reason, she couldn't get in a Super Bowl.
David Spade. We haven't used David Spade.
Oh, David Spade. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, okay. So what if this movie is about Adam Sandler, who's a sentient basketball, and he helps Shaquille O'Neal get his groove back?
Okay. All right. I like this.
What do you think? So it's just Adam Sandler's face superimposed on a basketball.
I don't know why this is so funny to me.
You gotta dunk me.
I like this.
Really gotta dunk me, Shaq.
I like this.
Shaq, do it. I don't care if it hurts every time. We gotta win the game. It's my Adam Sandler. That's all I got.
Okay.
Just shoot me to the hoop.
I think you could dunk from half court if you try.
All right.
I love it.
David Spade is the coach. I need him to be the coach.
Down on his luck. He's on the worst team. What's a basketball team that's bad?
The Denver Nuggets.
What about the Florida Mosquitoes?
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can't use actual NBA titles or then we'll have to pay the NBA. And Adam Sandler.
Yeah, exactly. So they walk up and his manager's like, if you guys don't do better this season, it's your butt on the line. That's what he tells David Spade.
Yep.
And so David Spade's like, what am I going to do? He's crying over his basketball that was signed by Globetrotter's own and rest in peace, Metal Lark Lemon. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
And so he's crying over that basketball and he summons the spirit of the greatest basketball player of all time,
Dunkie
Adam
McSlamster.
Sandler as Larry Bird. Okay. I couldn't sign on Larry Bird, so it's like spelled different. Larry Bard. The greatest basketball player of all time? Second greatest basketball player of all time?
Sure.
Best white basketball player of all time?
Okay, that's fair.
Tallest? I don't know.
Yes.
Basketball player?
Yeah, what are we going to call this?
Basketball player.
Shaq has been moved to this team. You know, like maybe he hasn't been performing.
Yeah.
How Shaquille got his groove back?
No, it's got to be like dunksketball.
No.
Sick dunkers.
Hold on. We'll get to the title. Kevin James, we got to cast him. I think that Kevin James is, wait for it, he's going to be the coach and every player on their rival team.
And he's like the Steph Curry of this universe.
But I want them to all be like weird brothers. I don't want it to be a gimmick of it.
Like
just
Mormon
Kevin James
brothers?
A bunch
like
of times.
Weird Mormon brothers. Got it.
Yes.
Weird Mormon brothers.
Yep. You got it.
And they keep asking David Spade if he knows Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior.
I think that like I like your take, David. You got like the biker version.
Yeah.
You got the
Poindexter.
You got the redhead. You got the tall one. You got the short one. They just you have to physically stretch Kevin James from. So I think that's a great idea. Like I said, if he's they're like the top team in the country because they can drift like in Pacific Rim.
Yes.
They know each other's next moves, so they play like this well-oiled machine. So what is this movie called?
Nothing But Net.
Nothing But Net. I love it.
That's good, but it feels a little too on the nose.
It does. I'm trying to think of basketball puns we can make.
Double dribbler team.
Double dribbler.
Dribbled?
Okay.
Skipping them hoops. Hoop dreams.
That's already a movie.
Hoop dreams.
Coach Carter.
um, I was trying to. Oh man, NBA Hang Time, NBA Jam. I was trying to make a Sandler joke with NBA Jam, NBA Sandler. I don't know.
Jam Boys.
Jam Boys.
That seems right, right?
Yeah.
You just had boys, and you got an Adam Sandler.
Jam movie. Boys. The Adam Sandler basketball classic, Jam Boys.
Jam Boys, starring Shaquille O'Neal and Adam Sandler as a sentient basketball. So they're making all these movies.
Yeah.
So this is movies inside of movie.
Yeah, this is Inception.
Yes.
Which is pretty nuts.
We just, on the fly, came up with three extra movies, like, on the fly.
We made up three movies on the fly, Nick. You're so good at this. All right, so now we have these three movies inside this movie, but that movie has to have an end. It's kind of what's the movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Jack Black, and they're in Vietnam, basically? Tropic Thunder?
Tropical Thunder?
It's like that, basically.
For half a minute, I thought you made up a movie. I was like, what?
That sounds good. Ben Stiller?
Yeah, I remember it now.
I think we have one more movie in us, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
I really do.
David's got to be somewhere at 7, and I got to be somewhere at 7.
Sure you do. That's what you guys always say, and then you watch Deadpool.
All right, so he's scooping up all the out-of-work actors, giving them work so they don't starve to death.
And it's a happy ending movie, is that he just keeps scooping up all the actors who aren't in Marvel movies.
Maybe you find out at the end that Adam Sandler is just like taking these guys in, and he's making movies, and he's making millions, and then he's grinding them up. Him. To make protein gel, like in a Snowpiercer. And that's it. To feed the rich in the food shortage.
I was gonna go with he's actually concocted cameras that do steal parts of their soul so he can live forever.
I like that idea, so we can power his giant robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Why does he have a giant robot? You have to watch the sequel to find out.
Yeah, because you get giant robots when you get Netflix money.
Yeah. Sandler's List 2. Still sanding Sandler in.
Still land back down. In the Sandler.
Back in that's real bad. All right. I don't think you can 30-second pitch that one, Nick. I'm not going to lie to you.
let me just give an overview real quick. Okay, yeah. So Adam Sandler starts a factory because anybody who's not in superhero movies is being blacklisted. So he makes a deal with Marvel and Disney to not blacklist actors at his studio.
In order
to save them, he just keeps making more movies so he can keep giving more actors more work. The end.
And then they make Joe Dirt 3 for some reason. And that's the end of the universe.
Sandler's List. The end.
So, that was good. We came in, just swooped in, just nailed it.
That was pretty good.
I would give us 8 out of 10.
You're right.
It's my go-to number for us. I don't want us to get too good.
I still say we're 6 out of 10 stars.
Probably more likely. Probably stick to a 5-star scale.
Good deal. So, hey, I just wanted to thank our listeners for listening. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can go to our website at www.unpitchablepodcast.com and listen there. You can find us on iTunes.
Rate and subscribe.
And subscribe.
If you like the show, legitimately, since we don't advertise or do anything like that, share it with your friends. We'd love to share a laugh with some more people and get them involved. And if you have movies, sorry, Nick, I didn't mean to cut you off there. If you have movies,
no.
what do you do, David?
If you have movies that you want to send to us, you can send them to us at movies@unpitchablepodcast.com. That's movies@unpitchablepodcast.com. Send us your movie ideas, feedback, hate mail, love mail.
Chicken salad recipes.
Sure.
Pictures of your
grandma. We will read it on air as if it's a movie.
Yeah. If you send us a recipe, we'll act like it was a movie.
Yeah. Well,
movie guarantees
and everything.
Yeah. So, David,
hey,
I think
David,
you got
a listener suggestion?
For us, you have a final sign-off movie, right?
Sure. I sure do, man. Just let me get that right up for you. Dang it, my sister started FaceTiming.
It's your only job.
David,
my sister started FaceTiming me.
Put her on the line. Tell her I said sup.
Sup, girl. Hang on.
How's it going?
How's it going? All right.
Stupid.
All right, guys. I got a listener suggestion here to sign us off. This one comes in from John Catania. That'd be Tim's papa.
My daddy.
Your daddy. His movie is Black to the Future. Synopsis, Jack Black travels in time to rescue himself from doing the Johnny Skidmarks movie. And that's a real movie. You should look it up. It's terrible.
That's terrifying.
Johnny Skidmarks.
I don't have anything other to say than he scats a lot during it. Yeah. It's the only way he can power the spaceship.
Yep.
I like it.
The time machine.
So, John, thanks all for right. the movie. Keep sending them in.
Thanks, Dad. If you want to send your movie in, movies@unpitchablepodcast.com.
Yeah.
So.
Good deal. Thanks for listening. I'm Nick Kagi.
I'm David Johnson.
I'm Tim Catania. And you guys got your nice glass of pitch to drink. Pitch Black, the movie with Vin Diesel. Congratulations. Unpitchable Black, the movie with Vin Diesel.
Hi, guys. Thanks for... why do I do this every time? Okay.
Welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast. Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Catania. We're about to listen to some smooth jazz. You can tell we're on real early in the morning because we're so quiet.
I want to start, but I don't know if you're going to keep whispering.
Is this triggering any emotions?
I feel very laid back right now.
It's triggering something.
Tupac Shakur auditioned for a role, but was turned down due to the fact that he looked younger than Wesley Snipes.
Due to the fact that he was shot 8 times in the face.
That's how they let him know he didn't get the part.
Sorry.
Wesley Snipes prepared for this role by watching wrestling on TV.
Okay. Yes,
are you just making things up now?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to pull up IMDb.
Okay, it's not. I made that one up. That's fake, but I wish it was on there.
Oh, I wish it was real.
I once heard Wesley Snipes snorted all the cocaine in the world. All of it. At one time. And that's why he's in Supermax jail.
I have to pee. I can't breathe. And then he just pees all over Tim.
We are avoiding the Holocaust at all costs. At all Holocausts, Nick.
I wish Bruce Willis would do more kid voiceover acting. He's the Kmart version of Beans.
If some point in my life I just eventually morphed into Terry Crews, all would be right with the world.
Okay. Da-da. That's enough. We're done.
Just shoot me to the hoop. If I was a millionaire and I hunted people for a living, I would use a spear gun. 100%.